Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is in that other box right next to me. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
We have, I think, celebrity A-list material on the show this week.
Is that right?
This is like the big time celeb.
Big times.
It's a huge deal.
Is it? We're huge. Is it, Andy?
I think so.
It is. I think it is. I think this might be one of our biggest.
Could be.
No pressure.
Definitely up there.
No pressure.
Right. Not at all.
Indeed. Joining us this week is Celia Schilling, social media and marketing manager for Yacht Club Games. That's right. Yacht Club Games. The Yacht Club Games. Creators of Shovel Knight and the developer of the best games you'll ever play, including Cyber Shadow. Celia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Indeed. Again, no pressure. Just, you know, you're kind of a big deal around these parts.
You are. You really are.
For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens Podcast, it's very simple. You're listening to the Dual Screens Podcast, the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, they all have a story to tell, and we want to be their platform to do so. The show posts each and every Friday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean. And of course, the video version of the podcast goes up on youtube.com/dualscreensTV. If you like what you hear here, get it? If you like what you heard here, there we go. Please listen to our other shows right here on the very same channel, both on YouTube and audio wise. We do Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, a video game news show that we think you would love as well. And if you want to give us your hard-earned cash, if by the end of this episode you're like, damn, I want to support those dudes, they're doing some great stuff over there, you can. You can go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, and there are all kinds of options for you to explore, and we just revamped it for the new year, so please go over there and check it out. We are giving an absurd amount of content for just $1, so go check that one out. All right, so let's dive right into the show. Let's do the thing right away. It's time for the question, the lead-in question of the show. Andy, take it away.
So, you know, Yacht Club Games, Shovel Knight, kind of a big deal.
Big deals. Big time deals.
You know, we could talk about Kickstarter stuff, selling a bajillion copies of the game.
Your
publishing efforts. But I really, truly want to know, why is Shovel Knight in everything? Why is he in everything? And what does it cost? Because Celia, I have.
Hold on, this is going someplace, Celia. If you thought this,
I have $4 in my pocket. I have a meeting on Monday. Can I get him in that? Can I get Shovel Knight in my morning meeting on Monday?
That's a very good question. I think if you wanted Shovel Knight in your meeting, I don't know how to answer that. I'm like, you can just put them in your corner of your screen for free. We also have digital downloads on our website. So you can do that and keep your $4, maybe buy some coffee. So you're extra alert for Shovel Justice in your meeting. Oh. So those are some free options. But for anything else,
it's kind of piggyback off of that. It's kind of amazing that Shovel Knight has become what it has become. Like I see Shovel Knight really isn't everything. I have the Exceed card game. I have a bunch of Shovel Knight packs of that, like decks and whatnot. And so when a character like that comes around, what happens first? Is it the character starts to gain interest from other places that are asking for Shovel Knight? Or is it you think Shovel Knight is worth so much and is such a great character that you go out and look for Shovel Knight into a bunch of things? Like, how does that work? Which comes first? Which one's the chicken? Mm-hmm. Which one's the egg?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so licensing is a very interesting dance of two parties, the licensee and the licensor. And it is a two-way street. So I can't think of an opportunity where we reached out in particular, but keep in mind, I'm fairly new to the Yacht Club Games team.
Sure.
But in other cases, people that would want to license at Shovel Knight have reached out to us. So it's a two-way street. Like when the world's normal, there's conventions where people just go and talk to each other about putting their character and or IP in something else. And it's pretty cool.
It's amazing how much power that has.
Have you seen the list, like the complete list of what he's in?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like, I can understand some of these things. You know, Rivals of Aether and Aegis Defenders, Bloodstained. I get it.
Okay.
Cook Serve Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cooks are delicious. Yeah. What? Former guest of the show.
Shovel Knight likes snacks. Okay. Why are you hating? In Road to Redemption, Shovel Knight rides a motorcycle. Why are you hating, buddy?
It's just, I would love to see these emails come through.
Like, I mean,
I have a baby simulation game. We'd love to get Shovel Knight in there to be like, you know, the nanny in our game. Yes, please. Go right ahead.
You know, Shovel Justice, they could learn at a very young age. It'd be cool.
I mean, having, you're approaching kind of an icon status with the character, you know, like some places might like protect their IP a little bit more. Like Disney's known for that. Like they give you guidelines how to use their characters. What kind of discussions are had internally with protecting Shovel Knight? Like, are there a lot of discussions of, oh, maybe that's not for us or something like that? Or is it kind of like, oh no, this is great. We love to see Shovel Knight everywhere.
So it's a little bit of both, obviously. Like, you know, of course we are protective of our IP, but we also have a pretty open video policy so people can make fan art, and we encourage it. We share it on Twitter. I love seeing it. It's so awesome. But in addition to that, like, you know, people make fan games, and, you know, our video policy states what we're okay with and, you know, not okay with. And we're pretty open. As for having actual cameos in games, it depends also. Like, you know, we get so many and we're pretty hands-on, so we do provide feedback on, like, you know, making sure like our character is still Shovel Knight, like they're not changing anything, like getting rid of one of his horns or taking away his shovel. So we try to make sure that it stays pretty on brand, anything we do get involved in. But the team's always like open. We're just checking out what's on the horizon.
You know, it makes me wonder, what have you guys turned down before?
I was just gonna ask that.
I don't think that's nice to say, but, you know, it's not
like, well, what was like, nah, we're going to,
doesn't have to be specific example, but like maybe just like they wanted to use Shovel Knight in a specific way where you're just like, nah, that doesn't work.
Right.
No, I think it's just case by case. Cause like, let's say if like a collaboration, had to be tweaked slightly. So it looked more, brand appropriate, but I think as of, it's usually like our bandwidth, to be honest, like, are we able to give attention to this project? Because a lot of love and care goes into everything that we do. Even like the smallest, tiniest things, like we care about like every little pixel perfect detail. So for that, it's bandwidth and, like, you know.
So you guys do like an open collaboration with that? Like you're actually putting a lot of work into those different uses. More so than like, I picture it like, okay, here you're licensing the IP. Go do your thing, send it to us, we'll approve it. But you guys are actually doing some work with the other licensees?
It depends the project. And also, it's not like we're coding the game for them. Oh, gosh.
No, I know.
Like, we're gonna have enough. But like, the thing though is that for it, like, you know, we'll say like, oh, this is our brand guide. And, you know, we like to have, you know, a certain scale of things. And
sure.
This is how they should be portrayed. You know, usual brand guide stuff. Super boring. Anyways. And then when we talk to licensor, you know, like it's a back and forth, well, licensee for the, there's like a whole background, like a, not background, back and forth. I can't talk today. Process where, you know, we go back and forth of whether we're okay with it or not. And usually like, it looks great. If we agree to work with them, of course it's because we trust them and we like it. So, yeah, it's a pretty active process, but also it's not like we're too hands on with it.
Awesome.
But what would the $4 get me?
I you can look at the Shovel Knight pin by fan, for fans by fans available.
Got it.
There you go. Okay,
$4, please.
There you go. Oh,
I'm just gonna
wait. Each. I wasn't in on this. I saw it too. Man, you just made $8.
Oh yeah, you're right. I'm cutting
you
myself
just made
short.
$8,
please, sir. Whoa.
I even get a discount. What is this?
They love you.
Oh man. So Cyber Shadow. Let's talk a little bit about Cyber Shadow.
Let's get into Cyber Shadow.
Go ahead, Andy. You lead us off here because you reviewed the game. The review is doing excellently on our YouTube, youtube.com/DualScreensTV. You can check that out.
What a journey. So for those who don't know, this game, a 10 year journey to, you know, from where it began to where it is today. And Yacht Club Games stepped in, I think. Was it two years ago? Maybe even further back than that? Three now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it about this game that you guys said, we want this under our banner? What was the moment that it was like, yeah, this fits in with what we're all about at Yacht Club Games?
So, okay. So it's actually kind of a funny story. So, log 3 years ago. Whoa, such a long time. Actually, it is. Oh my gosh. I feel like everyone blinked and it's 3 years later.
Well, this last year was eight years. Yeah, this last year was 8 years. So
it never happened. Know. So, yeah.
I feel like I've aged. I have a whole beard now. Okay, but like, so basically what happened was that RNA had posted some like screenshots of the game on Twitter. And one of my colleagues, David, was hanging out on Twitter, looking at cool games, doing his usual social media thing. And what happened was he saw the game. He's like, wow, like, I want to play that. You know, like, I love platformers. And we're pretty collaborative in studio. So he showed everyone else. I was like, wow, like, this looks really good. And we're like, oh my gosh, yes, it does. It's like pixel art and it's retro style. And like the music sounds great. Like we have to be a part of this. And so it was kind of like a group effort of it, like appealed to us, like the art style, the story that RNA had revealed at that time, just everything seemed to fit kind of like a puzzle piece with what we like enjoy ourselves as gamers, not only as like developers, but as gamers as well. And we were getting more into publishing. We're like, why don't we reach out? And so we did. And so David messaged RNA and then he's like, hey, you want to work with us? You know, we can publish you and we can, you know, offer all these things. And he's like, no. And we're like, oh, okay. And basically the reason why he said no to us wasn't because of us, but initially he had a no publisher role. And that's because like there can sometimes be a stigmatism with it where people think that sometimes publishers will like take your game and then package it how they want to and throw it out in the world and, you know, good luck. But the thing is, though, is like once we started to express like what we'd actually do for him and be able to assist him in having a fine tune and polish of his game and help putting it out in the world rather than changing his vision, he was like more keen on it. He's like, oh, you'll do that? Okay, now we're in session. Like, let's do this. So it's been a really fun collaborative process for the past few years.
When you're picking projects like that, like outside of just kind of how this situation seems kind of like atypical, you know, but like do you have, when you're dealing with a developer that has this stigma about publishers, do you have a certain guidelines, like certain guidelines that you use for those type of developers where you might say, hey, take your time, when it's done, it's done? Or do you still have kind of those milestones that you want to hit as if you were publishing something from a larger team?
So I would say a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Like our requirements for RNA is that you have to put out the game eventually, please. like you have to make a game. It's been almost 10 years. You need to put it out, sir. And I feel like since like games are such an art piece as well, like, yeah, you know, always as an artist, like it's not ready. Don't look at it yet. But I guess it was kind of one of those things where we, like at Yacht Club Games, like we don't want to just make games you love, but we want to make you love games. So for that, like, that's our philosophy, like, as a whole, you know, and
right.
We're gamers ourselves. And so when talking to RNA, who was not keen on it at first, we were open and transparent with him of, like, who we are as publisher and as developers and as gamers ourselves. And once he realized, he's like, oh, yeah, okay, you, like, you're cool. Like, we can work together. Then it worked out. But it's all those things where, like, you know, telling him, like, we have to publish you or else, you know what I mean? It's a two-way street. Like, it's a relationship. If he didn't want us, then that's okay too. Like, we would have played this game regardless. I would have bought it day one. Actually, I would have bought it with the pre-order because, you know, $5 cheaper is awesome.
What does a pitch like that look like? I'm sorry, Andy. I'm just curious. No, what does a pitch like that look like when you are pitching a developer like this? Like, you talk about how you tell them about, you know, your gamers too and stuff like that. But what does the actual pitch sound like from that?
Ooh, well, that's very difficult and a very case-by-case basis. We're very sure. hands-on studio, so it's kind of one of those things where we're not going to cookie-cutter our pitch deck for you, because this is, like, we understand that the game is this person's child. Like, it's their art. It's a part of their soul. It's their passion. So we're not going to be like, hey, hello there, sir or madam. Would you like to put the fate of your game in our hands, please? Like, it'll kind of be one of those things where, you know, you reach out as a human, introduce yourself, and be like, hey, like, let's talk more about this and let's see what your goals are. And let's see if this makes sense for us to work together. But regardless, we think you're awesome and we want to play your game.
And we'll pay you a whopping $4.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine if he was like, it's going to take me at least 10 more years to finish this?
Like, okay. okay, are they? We'll talk to you later.
That's great. Best of luck to you. Warmest regards. Club Games.
No, it's one of those things, like, once you have a launch date, like, once you've given a date, like, that's the deadline you need to hit.
Sure. Was that ever part of the conversation? Like, why? Because 10 years is a long, well, we'll say 7 years before you guys actually stepped in. But it seems like a long time for a game. We've had games with much broader scope, graphics. I mean, larger teams, obviously. But did you ever ask what's taking you so long to, like, finish this thing or to get at least where it was at that point?
Okay, so for this, I think when people hear like almost 10 years, they're like, oh my gosh, sitting in a dark room, you know, just typing right away. Yeah. You know? The thing is, though, is that that's since its inception. Like 8 years ago or 7 years ago or however long, RNA drew Shadow on a napkin and was like, ninjas are cool. I should do something with this eventually. And that's like the starting point. That's where we gauge it. like literally, I'm not kidding. And the thing is, though, is that after that, like a few years later, he's like, oh, I was like playing with her on with like retro style. Like that'd be awesome. And then like, and then hits the 5 year mark. And it was like, oh, I guess I'm doing this now. I should probably focus on it. And like, and then it goes through the process. And then right. 3 years ago, when it hit that, like the, I think 7 year mark, it's like, oh yeah, like I met these cool publishers. I guess we're really doing it now. So it's kind of like that. So right. Yeah, it's not like he's sitting there in a hole for 10 years.
I need that napkin. I want it.
Sell on eBay. It's going to cost more than $4. So.
God damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
So as the social media marketing talking head over at Yacht Club Games, give us, what is the pitch for Cyber Shadow? Give us the whole spiel.
Okay, are you ready for it? Are you ready?
We're so ready.
Okay. Cyber Shadow is a 2D pixel-perfect ninja-themed action platformer that pays homage to the like 8-bit style of gaming with an added convenience or two. So that is the marketing sentence pitch for the game, which is true. It has an added convenience and it's very difficult. much like the 8-bit era of gaming.
We should have a little asterisk for, and it will totally wreck your balls every chance.
And then there's another asterisk and it's like, you're gonna die.
But you have so much fun though, every step of the way. I think it's a testament to why these games can be so successful, is if you can match the art style and the soundtrack and the gameplay, and it all comes together in a very specific way with a very set amount of conditions, you don't mind the death too much.
Yeah.
Because you're learning as you're playing and dying.
No, definitely. And like what we like to say is that there is a challenge that goes along with Cyber Shadow, but it's not cruel. So it's like not unfair. Like you don't, it's just not going to kill you for no reason. It's going to kill you because you didn't see the bug coming. So it teaches you about the game and how it, like the level hazards work, like combined with enemies. So it's a learning process and there's a curve there.
And that's totally a philosophy of game design in general. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at the old school game design, a lot of it was born out of limitations. And when back in the day, you didn't have the opportunity to teach a player, okay, this is the button that you press to move forward. This is the button that you press to jump. Where, you know, back in the day, when you saw the first screen of Super Mario, there was no hazards. It was just you on kind of off center to the left. And you could tell, okay, he's facing the right. I'm going to press the right button and he moves. And then the next little screen scrolls and there's a little dude, a little Goomba that you didn't know what it was, a little mushroom person going towards you, and then it touches you and you die. You're like, oh, okay, I'm not allowed to touch enemies. And like, that's how it taught you. That was its tutorial. But at the same time, you get, there's also secrets. There's a tunnel there, you know, you could go in the caves and, you know, or the underground, whatever it is. And you're learning the game through that first level, and it teaches you absolutely everything you need to know about that game in that first little screen, essentially. And I feel like Cyber Shadow does something very similar, but it takes it in, and kind of puts it in these little chunks. Like every enemy that you come across, you learn something about a new mechanic of the game. Your power ups, you're learning something new every time you pick something up. But the fundamentals are there. It's jump, hit, and avoid. Like that's kind of what you need to know. Those are the fundamentals of getting you through and progressing through. And I think that's really a really smart design that gets lost in kind of the new games where it's all about flash and holding your hand and, you know, pausing the gameplay just to teach you something about the game that you wouldn't otherwise know.
That's such a turnoff.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Breath of the Wild, right? Like, yes, I have problems with that game, but one of the things that is not wrong with that game is how they drop you in the world and nothing is foreign to you. Like, you understand how the world works by playing with the world, and you don't feel like you're punished in that. And I think Cyber Shadow does that, obviously, on a smaller scale, being, you know, 2D and being a platformer, not just massive open world. But it does that very similarly. And I think that's what gets players who do die over and over again and want to throw their controller out the window. It keeps them moving forward because they understand more every single time they put their hands on the controller and they interact with that world.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That was a great analysis. And I'm yes. like, I'm like, you're getting all the things.
All of the things you said are correct, sir.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. Interview.
Would you like my job? Is my follow up to that.
No, I've seen what you guys have to do at conventions. I'd much rather do what I do at conventions. I'd rather be the sweat hog going up to you like, let me see game. game.
Why should I love game? You tell me. I don't know why I'm rushing. I said that.
Oh my god, is this 2019? So reminiscent.
Me have
four times.
Me have deodorant. Me no smell bad.
The before times.
The before times at conventions. Oh my gosh. Well, no, but on an actual real note, I love conventions. It's actually one of my favorite parts of my job.
Absolutely adore it. Absolutely.
And it's one of the reasons that I got into marketing, actually. So I love them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think about this game that really grabbed me was there's an actual story to tell here, and there's lore. And there's a world, and it's amazing how when you come across articles that say that there's pages and pages of story that aren't really in the game, but it's all in the design. It's here's my Bible for what this game's world is, who its characters are. Now, let me just select a few things and put things in the background, put things in subtly or even not so subtle ways to sort of communicate that. I think that's lost on a lot of games that are of this 2D simple sprite based nature. You think, okay, it's an old school game, it's hack and slash, it's jumping and slashing, how much depth could there really be here? But there's surprisingly a lot of depth with this game. It actually caught me off guard a little bit.
Like, oh, really?
I didn't think I'd be that invested in these characters that are made of pixels on a screen. But by the end, I was like, that's really good. It's like really, really good.
You know what's even better? Yeah, that's only 25% of the story.
Yes, yes.
Cyber Shadow. Yeah, it was really awesome. Madness. When I was talking with Arne and we were making the character profiles for the characters. We shared them on social media. On social media in the Xbox Wire blog mm-hmm. most recently. And the thing for that is that... Like, I remember I was like asking him, like, can you tell me some more, like, spoiler free, like, details about Shadow? And he's like, yeah, like, so Shadow, you know, he has a sensitivity to essence. And I'm like, yeah, we know that. And he's like, yeah, and that's what made him, you know, go on a journey of solitude because he didn't want to get corrupted by people, corrupting his essence. And then that's how he met, you know, he went to the dojo. He stumbled upon a dojo, which was Master's Dojo, and like, goes into all these, like, interesting lore. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much I need to know. So now I feel like I want to keep on making character profiles so Arne will tell me everything and I'll be the keeper of marketing secrets.
And when he was five, his dog ran away.
Yeah.
his name was Skittles.
I see, as a production person, like looking at it through the eyes of a producer or whatever, like I just see dollar signs with that. Like you have somebody that has such deep lore and thought put into that, that like that IP can go anywhere. That IP mm-hmm. can be a comic strip. It could be an anime at that point. You could do prequels, sequels, crossovers. You could do spin-offs. Like the whole world is your oyster when you put that much work into the lore of this for lack of a better term, simple game. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like that's kind of mind blowing. And that's a testament to you guys at Yacht Club having that eye to see that talent. Because you're not just publishing a game, you're publishing that person's work. You're publishing, you know, everything that person has worked on outside of just the pixels you see and the sounds you hear, you know? That's awesome. That's great. That's so cool. I can't, like Shovel Knight, I can't wait to see cyber everywhere.
Oh my gosh, thank you. We really appreciate that. We'll have a Cyber Shadow theme park coming soon.
So yes. Don't worry. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh my gosh. I think on one of our streams, so fun fact, side note, Yacht Club Games, we streams occasionally like on Twitch. And like the most recent one we did was we were playing Cyber Shadow and we're like, oh, who would voice the characters? And, you know, I like to imagine the operator, that guy. I like to imagine that his voice would be done by Gilbert Gottfried because I think that's hilarious.
That is like the biggest juxtaposition I ever could imagine. That character has such incredible dialogue. And I can feel like there's like menace behind those words, but to have like this grouchy comedian delivering like, oh, I can't even imagine it.
It's
beautiful. That's why I wouldn't be in charge of casting. But
I have news for you though.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh my god.
You can get on Cameo and you could get him to do some lines for you for a few $100.
Oh, he is on Cameo.
He's on Cameo. I guarantee you he's very cheap.
He's very cheap. It's not $4, but it's definitely, you know, oh, yeah. Definitely bargain priced.
Then RNA C&Ds me, like basically, like after I do that.
So the game is out. It's getting amazing reviews. I can imagine sales are equally amazing. What's that been like for the team, seeing this 10-year journey coming to a close and just seeing all the praise, the gushing, the love? What's that been like for RNA and for the team?
So for the team, we're so happy and proud. Like, RNA put his heart and soul in this. Like, he solely developed this game, and the hard work is so obvious in it and how beautiful it is. And like, we're happy. We're like proud parents, coworker, friends, I don't know. And then for RNA, he's so happy. It's his child. It's going in the world and it's doing well and doing things. So yeah, all of us were really happy and we're really pleased with the reception. And we're very thankful for the community for supporting it.
See, now the issue is the game is almost too good that I would imagine people want more of its universe and its characters. Is he, after a 10-year journey, is he more like, all right, I'm just gonna like buy a yacht and just hang out for a little bit with this all this new money I have? Or is he just like, all right, what's the next thing, and maybe I shouldn't take 10 years to make it? You just leave napkins around his desk so you can start now.
Oh my god, I should. But he lives in Finland, so it'd be a very expensive napkin drop-off trip.
This is true.
But this is true.
I'm sure there's a Finnish Postmates you can use.
You're right. Maybe I should. Okay, yeah. No, Arne needs to sleep, first and foremost. He is so tired. He's worked so hard.
Sure.
Yeah, he needs a nap. But after his nap, like, who knows the future? Like, depends his mood, I guess. But right now, there's nothing in the pipeline. But if there ever is, we'll announce it on our social media pages and website. But right now, nap time.
And he has you guys, more importantly. He has that really good support system. Because, you know, for all his work, you guys were there, pushed it across the finish line. And now it's like, whenever you're ready, buddy, we're here to make magic again. Just let us know. And that's going to happen hopefully soon.
What was his response to the way you guys were handling everything? Like, we know how you gushed about him. Were there any stories about how he reached out to you guys, how happy he was, or, you know, whatever, about everything? Is it a situation where, like, you're his publisher now? Like, is it a developer thing, or is it just by game by game basis? Is it just Cyber Shadow? How's your relationship now that you're at the end of the finish line, so to speak?
So just because the game's out doesn't mean we're going to end support for it. Like, I have many things planned marketing-wise for this game.
Okay. Yeah. Long-term stuff. Let's do it.
I'm seeing plushies galore. I'm telling you right now.
Top of the list, Dual Screens Podcast. Scratch that one off. We did it, you guys. High fives all around the office. We did it.
Okay, so no merch announcements as of yet. But I want one. I want all of them. I would love a giant worded Cyber Shadow plushie too. Yes. Oh my gosh. I just want everything. Let's just make it happen. Cyber Shadow House for sale now. Okay. So, and as a relationship, it's very positive. He's very thankful with us. And I don't know, Arne and I talked today. Like, since we're working still on the campaign together, like, I bother him about stuff all the time. Yeah, he's taking a mini little home staycation away from the computer this weekend. So I told him I just bother him on Monday. So I'm like, talk to you soon. so yeah, we're very pleased together.
That's so good.
How has it been? I mean, you just released this game. We're still in the middle of COVID. You know, the last year of this game's development happened during COVID. What was that like? Obviously, he's halfway across the world already as it is, but now you have this added kind of obstacle in the way. What were the challenges there for you guys?
I think the challenge that I noticed the most, and I think Arne would agree with me, was with QA. When I say QA, I mean beta testing. Mm-hmm. So for that, you know, usually you have the beta testers and they come into your office and you have to see them play and you can ask them questions like, oh, why? But since obviously, you know, times have changed, you know, the world is not doing that great right now. So we're unable to be in person. So It's basically, we're at the mercy of like, can they record their gameplay for us? You know, are they going to type up everything they thought in that moment, or they'll change their mind later on? So it's harder to get that initial response and feedback about it. And I feel like that was the biggest challenge for us for 2020. But in general, like, because of the times, like, you know, it makes everything like a bit more difficult, and like my heart goes out to like everyone having to deal with this.
What was it like planning out that strategy of having to change that on the fly, of how you're going to get feedback from the beta testing and all that stuff? Like, what were those meetings like?
Me being like, hey guys, we had a meeting. We're like, okay,
we got to figure some shit out quick.
Yeah. So we're going to do a usual send out the email check. We can do that normally. B, you know, like, we'll make a form instead. And so there was a lot of coordinating between me, Adam, who's our QA lead, my other colleague, David. Like, so it was like a team effort of making sure that everything was good, coordinating with operations and Shannon. And like, literally, like, we're collaborative as it is. So it's not like, more people had to jump on deck. It's just that status quo of how we work together. So we made it work. It was challenging, but we did it.
Sure.
We got to get on that QA tester list, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
It has to happen at some point. I feel, you know, you guys aren't around the corner, but I'll fly there to play whatever you're cooking up next.
Okay.
You know, just putting that out there for you, Celia. Just
make I'll accept your bribe. Don't worry.
But you know what I'm going to offer.
You already robbed us of $8. Now look at this.
I'm
my goodness.
At his shelf, I see like there's a Pikachu thing. There's Meat Boy, Angry Bird. You got a lot of cool stuff there, buddy.
He does.
You know?
He does.
Yeah, she's like, keep your $4. I want the whole shelf behind you.
You should see a Seattle poster. It's great.
Oh, God.
You should see that.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, aside from this game being out and amazing, you guys have some other awesome stuff in the works too. And I think really, without, you know, goes without saying, Shovel Knight Dig is high up there on my most wanted games.
That game's awesome.
My entire life, because it looks amazing. It's Shovel Knight, but not what we're used to. It's got so much depth now and detail.
You said depth about
Shovel
Knight.
I know I did it. I don't want to do puns.
You're a punny man. You know that.
Dig so into it. We're listening. We're all ears.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Don't bury the lead. Go with it.
Yeah.
When can I play this? When is it a thing? I know. I don't know. Tell me.
So Shovel Knight Dig is currently in development right now. We have no updates as of yet. Stay tuned to our social media pages and website for further updates about our upcoming games. I just made that up right now.
I love
that. Was very good. I could see. Yeah, you're worth the money. That's for
you
sure.
Know?
You're worth the $8.
I heard a little switch go off in her head. Like, this is the voice I use when I give the PR speak answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My operator voice. Do you like it?
It's very good. Yeah. It's very good.
You should just get Gilbert Godfrey to do all of your messages.
I know. Oh my God. Wouldn't that be funny if I just mouthed it and it was just Gilbert Godfrey? Oh,
Steven, we have to have.
We have nothing to announce at this time.
Steven, if he's really that cheap. And we are in need of a channel trailer for our YouTube page. So I'm just putting that out there.
Oh, these God, morons Steve. Are great.
Do you like video games?
he voiced one of my favorite cartoon characters, Iago. I'm just saying. Just saying, there is crossover there. There's crossover appeal, Andreas.
How can a voice be so grating yet so
soothing,
memorable, and so charismatic?
I think it's suspension of disbelief. It's like Bobcat. Like Bobcat, his voice isn't like that. Like that's a character he does, but he's done it for so long that like you have to suspend your disbelief. You have to say, okay, no, that's him. And I think it's the same thing with Gilbert. It's like, no, he's just that's who he is.
It's like, you know, when you eat ice cream and you get the brain freeze and you keep eating more ice cream
because
you're an idiot. Because
well, that's marriage.
Right. Exactly. It's like, I want to hear more of Gilbert's voice, even though I want to like
Stockholm Syndrome
screwdriver through
something
my head.
Like that. Something like that.
Oh boy.
No, video game. That's what the show is about.
Yeah, that's where we are. That's
not about D-list comedians.
Take it back. Bring it back.
Oh boy. Oh, I did want to ask you guys about the game is also on Game Pass. So what was that conversation like between yourselves and Microsoft? Was it, did they offer you the more than $4? Was it just like a satchel of money that they drop at your desk?
It was a satchel of money. You know that.
That's how I envision it.
They just sent us a giant X Xbox shape.
Oh, it was one of those fridges? They sent you here's 5 Series X fridges.
He's like, you see those fridges? We'll put you in there if you don't accept. No, kidding. Okay, so... I'm kidding. Okay, so I don't think I can actually disclose, like, the conversation. No,
listen. Whatever you can say with a light touch, you
like,
know...
We've had some guests on here that... It happened both ways. One was like Microsoft approached them. Another one was they kind of just met at a convention and they started talking and then boom, it happened. Like, how did it happen with you guys?
So for us, we have a pretty close relationship with Xbox. Like I email with our contact occasionally whenever like there's new opportunities that arise. So what I can say is we have a very healthy relationship with them and we're very thankful for all the support that they've given us.
Absolutely.
That switch, it went off again.
They should be off support.
I totally heard it.
He said switch, I'm like, wink, I'm like, what?
But that's because I feel like, you know, a game like this doesn't need that platform to succeed because, you know, if you look at it, it's going to get gobbled up regardless. But then there it is on this platform where it's, now you have no excuse not to play this game. I feel like everyone should try this game at least once. There's no reason why you shouldn't try it and love it and hate it all at the same time.
And without Yacht Club, this game might have just like dropped on itch.io and like got a tiny little cult following.
Oh,
you know?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean? Like it could have just been one of those things where it was like, oh, you got to try this game. It's really great. Yada, yada. But like now it's on Game Pass and it's in the zeitgeist. Like every conversation I've had, like we're in the indie game scene. We know a lot of people that cover indie games. We have a lot of people that play indie games and yada yada. And like the game's everywhere. It really is. It's one of those things where people are actively talking about this game. It's not just something that they happen to stumble across. It's in their face. And I think that, again, that's a testament to what Yacht Club can do. And even when we first bumped into the game, it wasn't even on purpose. Remember, Andy? Like we were at PAX East. We had covered Yacht Club games before at PAX. We had a good relationship with the team running the booth over there. And all of a sudden, they had this kind of little screen. And they're like, hey, you want to see something? Like, yeah, we do. And like, check this out. And we're like, oh, boy. And they're like, yeah, this is a game. And we're like, oh, boy.
I was like a little bit proud.
That was amazing. That was awesome.
You know, I kind of go into Twitter and look for stuff like Cyber Shadow on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I've been following him since before he became part of Yacht Club with this whole collaboration. And when I saw it there, I was like, holy shit, you're working with these guys on this game? This is going to be, good.
Indeed.
It's going to be magical. And it was.
Do you have any plans to put that soundtrack on vinyl?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
That'd be so cool. So as of right now, there's no plans in the pipe work, but if it ever changes, we'll be sure to let you guys know.
I mean, that'd be cool. Not that I have an actual vinyl collection or anything, but like,
don't matter.
I just feel those chiptunes always sound better on vinyl.
It's all about just crap on my wall. I have like the Silent Hill 2 soundtrack on vinyl, Nightmare on Elm Street soundtrack on vinyl. Clothes and
Nightmare on Elm Street, like the movie or the game?
Yes. The first, well, it's a good soundtrack on the game, but the first film has a really amazing score.
I have never enjoyed a single horror game soundtrack in 8-bit form. Like those sounds are just so obnoxious. because they just use all those high-pitched squealy sounds. They're very scary.
You should actually listen to, I'm forgetting the name right now, but so Enrique Martin, the composer for Cyber Shadow, he actually, in his previous work, he did this one game, I think it was like a zombie kind of themed game, mm-hmm. I think. No, I might be misremembering, actually. Never mind. I'll send you the soundtrack. It's really good. That's absolutely what I'm getting at. Okay. But also, I know he did another one. I think it was a horror game. I might be jumbling everything. My brain's just all Cyber Shadow. So I think I'm attributing everything to Cyber Shadow now. but yeah, check out his soundtrack. He's really good. And then I'll send you the other one. So, but they're out there. They're out there. Don't worry.
It's time. And did you have any more questions before we get into rapid fire?
Yeah, no, I feel like I'll just gush some more because I love this game so much. I just wish there was more after I finished it.
I actually have I do have a question.
Ooh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Who do we got to speak to about getting one of our review quotes on the box? Well, does it cost more than $8?
Ooh, yeah, probably. Shit. How many soundtracks are you going to buy if we ever make one?
All of them.
Just kidding.
Too many, likely. I'll do a whole wall.
Most of them.
Build just your house out of them. I want you to get an industrial amount of soundtracks. Kidding. Or that, I don't know. We don't have a
I don't even know how that works.
Planned. I don't know.
Oh, man. Sorry, buddy.
Trying to kill your dreams now.
For someone named Schilling, you should appreciate what we're trying to do here, okay?
Indeed. I know. You would think. You know what's funny? You're the third person in my entire life to ever mention that. Congratulations.
Yes. Yes.
You know what's funny? I found out that my name sounds like the word, like you're shilling something from a YouTube comment 2 years ago.
Wow. And you work in social media and marketing. Your life is shilling.
This is wonderful.
It just worked out that way. It wasn't planned.
It's wonderful.
No, listen, it's all, there's a grand design, Celia.
There is a grand design.
You have to just go with it.
It was fate. Isn't that funny? I found it from a YouTube comment. Okay.
All right. Switching gears now. This is where we get to know you. That's right, Celia. This is all about you. This is rapid fire. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions, and we want your best off-the-cuff answers for them.
Okay, go.
And we're going to start it off with one of our more famous questions. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility? Mm.
Okay, so I feel like the reason that I would have both is for the same reason. So I feel like I would go invisible. Reason being, because I say like silly stuff all the time. I'm like, oh, that wasn't the right time to say that. And then I could either fly away or I could turn invisible. But the thing is, though, about that is I'm scared of heights. So like I get scared if I go too high on a swing. Okay, that's my level of like.
Yeah,
my
I'm there with you on that one. Yeah, sure.
So I feel like invisible would be better, but I'd have to go to Edna Mode for like clothes that also turn invisible, like The Incredibles.
Fair.
See, you see, Steven, it's not all about committing crimes when you go invisible.
Let's just say I learned a lot just now.
Thank you so much. A pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes, because that was my first pizza. Fun fact.
Wow.
Wow. What a wild way to start your pizza career.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I was at my Uncle Peter's house. We were playing like the Star Wars N64 game Pod Racers.
Great game. Yes,
and,
of course.
Yeah, my Uncle Peter ordered pizza, and it was pineapple pizza from Domino's. And so that's how I remember.
From Domino's, no less.
Yeah, wow.
I feel like at that point you have to love pizza because you've had it's a Domino's pineapple pizza. If you love that,
you have the capacity to live any pizza.
But like, I was a very jazzed like 6-year-old.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely.
Y'all are hating, but
no,
like, yeah.
There's no hate here.
He's
but
all
you
about
are,
that.
You are I'm talking to bit. Two New Yorkers, so
right.
Oh gosh, love the I'm pizza. Sorry, I've committed sin.
Goodness, I mean, right. I order Domino's every now and again, but to be your first slice and it's pineapple, and I
we're
am a supporter
pizza
of pineapple.
Snobs, but we are pizza snobs.
No, yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right. You're putting on your shoes, your socks and shoes.
This is my favorite question ever.
Are you sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
I am sock. Where's the other sock? Oh my gosh, I thought I had more socks in this drawer. I'm going to just, man, who needs socks? Let's go flip-flops. I can't find my flip-flops. Going back to the sock thing. Oh, they're in the dryer. Of course they're in the dryer. At least I'm glad I washed them. Sock, shoe, shoe. Okay, let's go.
I'll just stay inside today.
I'm going back to bed.
I tried, right? You come across an old woman and a baby drowning in a pool.
Oh my
Which
God.
One do you save?
Okay, so for that, I'm going to be like, how adorable is the old lady to the baby? No, I'm kidding. Of course you save the baby. Mm. And then you save them both. Why do you have to pick? Why are we jerks?
Listen, it's just the way life is, Celia.
It's your gut reaction.
You know?
Your gut reaction is, baby.
The baby would be lighter than the lady. And so, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm really horrible at swimming, so I feel like we'd all just...
That we're all fucked, basically.
Yeah, basically. I jump into...
Find a fourth person to save us all. That's what we're going to go with.
All right. The apocalypse has happened.
I love
it. You are trying to survive. What cyber shadow weapon are you taking with you? You can only take one.
Swag blade.
Yeah. That is the answer.
That is the answer.
That is such a yummy weapon. I don't want to like derail this segment, but you know, few weapons in the game arouse me whilst I use them, and that weapon does wondrous things for the below the equator.
Andy, region. I think we found our box quote.
Goodness gracious!
You know, yes, and now it's on the video, so it is now a verbal binding contract.
It's canon. It's canon.
I'm kidding. We don't have a physical release plan.
You know you do. Where are those gays at? Those guys at Limited Run Games. All right. Let's see. Oh. If you had the power to shrink one thing and take it with you, what would it be?
Can I unshrink it? Or is this just like one?
Yeah, it can come and go as you
want. Yeah, you can
It's only one. It's one thing you can do.
You got that Ant-Man tech.
Reverse it anytime you want. It's just... There's this giant thing I want to take with me all the time. I'm going to shrink it and just...
Okay, so this is just going from like a childhood place. Mm. I would love to be able to shrink my car, like a motorcycle or something. Yeah. Just like Capsule Corpse capsules in Dragon Ball Z. Yes. Like Bulma would always throw and she's like, oh! Or like in Dragon Ball, for example, she'd throw and be like, oh, let's go. And I always thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I'd be like, why don't we have that now? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. Obviously, physics, for one. But anyways... That'd be so cool. So let's do that.
Mm.
Okay.
100%. I'm with you on that. Coffee, hot or iced?
Mm. Iced, because I always burn my tongue. I'll make coffee. Like I was drinking coffee right now. And I'll put an ice cube in it because I can't handle hot things.
Would you rather have your skin change color based on your emotions or... tattoos that would appear on your body depicting what you did the day before?
That's a very good question. I feel like my skin already does change color. I go from like deathly pale to like pink really quickly. If I go outside, that's what happens. I'm like a lobster. So I feel like I would mix it up and pick the tattoos, because the tattoos would just be me eating food.
That's like Maui,
playing
right?
Video games.
That's pretty cool.
I'm into that.
I mean, that would reveal a lot about you, you know?
Right.
Like, what are you doing here? What is that, just you lying down?
Like,
is that all you did yesterday?
Cheese
yes,
again?
Correct.
Stop calling me out. I do that.
That is exactly what I did. Hold on. Is that cheese pre-sliced? Yes. Yes, it is.
Is she eating the ramen from the package with, okay, sure. Yes, it is crunchy, I guess.
I guess you guys know me very well, because that's what I do. Why the tattoos already?
This is the insight we have. Listen, Celia, it's been 3 years we're doing this, Stephen and I, so we know what makes you people tick.
We do. Okay. We do. You got to be a certain kind of crazy to do what you do.
Right.
It's just, it is what it is. Sweet or savory?
Mm. Ooh, that's difficult. I like both. Both. I'm not picking.
Fair.
All right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Is cereal a soup?
Huh. I've never thought about it that way. I feel like no, because it's cold, but then cold soup's still soup. I'll eat cold soup.
Yeah.
So sure. I guess yes. I guess yeah.
Sure.
Why not?
You know, I just have to say, Stephen, this question, I love how it's always, I've never thought about it before, and then hearing the answer, and I love that little pause. Like, it's such a deep philosophical question of our
Because everyone's first gut reaction
holy shit.
No, it's cold. And then like, wait a minute, that argument doesn't hold on.
Yeah, I feel like I pondered that more than the child old woman question.
I mean, no, listen, the child's got to get, you know, the child could be the next president. You know what I mean? Like that old lady, she's done her job in life. You know what I mean? Like she's fine. She's fine. She's seen some shit. The family will grieve for a little bit, but that kid could be anything.
Could you imagine being that old and like you go out?
That's
like,
how you
drowning?
Go. That's the that's worst how you way go. To go. You lost out to a baby.
In general,
you lost out to
exactly.
a baby.
Like I made it all the way to the end. I'm gonna drown.
I mean, I don't know.
I would hate it. That is a raw deal.
Whose question is it? It's my question, isn't it?
It's your question.
What is a weird habit that you have? This is one of those weird things you do that you can't really explain.
I do a lot of weird stuff. Like I eat a lot of things cold. Like I just won't heat it up because I didn't grow up using a microwave, so I'll just eat it cold. And people are like, "Why are you eating the soup cold?" Yep. And I literally, when I said, "Well, soup, you know, it's cold, so it's not a soup," and I literally thought to myself, earlier I ate squash soup cold because I didn't want to wait. another thing is this. Does having anxiety problems count as a habit? Because I feel like that's...
Maybe. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I won. I never wear matching socks. Mm. Ever.
Okay.
That's a little
on purpose?
Yeah, I just don't. I think it's lucky to not wear them. I don't know why. I feel like it's like me just coping with, I never match the socks together. I just throw them in a drawer and then that's my life. Mm. So yeah.
I'm gonna backpedal for a bit to the sock shoe shoe question. Oh boy, so in that scenario, when you're trying to find the other sock and you can't find any other sock.
That's why they're all in the dryer because I lost them and then I'm proud of myself.
It's not just
them.
I have to find the matching sock. It's where are all the other socks?
I have
in my
to
house?
Find a sock.
A
got
sock.
It.
Yeah.
So not only okay, we're getting a real like look into your life here. So you wait until you have literally no socks left before you actually do the laundry.
Oh my God, you're learning about my
Is
life.
Is that what
okay,
we do
so
here?
I'm going to let you guys in a lot of little secrets.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
please.
So I have enough clothes to not repeat like a combination outfit for like a really long time.
Wow.
So right now, I'm glad this is cut off camera. I have like a pile of laundry. I have a big laundry basket.
Sure.
A pile. And then like at the end of like, it's basically like a pilgrimage. After like the end of like a month and a half, I take all of the clothes I wore and then wash them all. So when I was doing my scenario, I was imagining that it's near the end and I'm literally out of everything.
Wow. So is it like Christmas, like when you like finish washing all your clothes and you're like, look at all this stuff I could do.
No, it's like, look at my stuff. Isn't it neat? Like the little mermaid, but it's like shirts and sneakers. Not really sneakers. I don't know why I said sneakers. But anyways, that's just kind of how I work. It's one of those things that I want to make sure that if I buy a shirt or a dress or like whatever, like I'm going to wear it. I don't like wasting clothes or having them if I don't wear them. So this is how I make sure. Like at the end of, you know, ever so often, like when I do a clothes clean out, it's like, what were the clothes that I picked the least or like always saved to the end? And then it's like, well, then from that point, I should probably donate those items because I'm not the one enjoying them. Someone else should.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, so that's my philosophy.
Is it your turn, Andy, or is it mine?
I think it's my turn.
Go ahead. I got a couple more and then we'll.
Trying to think here. What would you, because, you know, Shovelin has been in so many games. If you had to pick, for the next collaboration to have Shovel Knight in the game, what would that game be?
I don't know. I've been asked that before. And I feel like my answer is silly, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel like a JRPG or something would be really silly.
Oh my God.
But like a Persona one, because like it's
Ooh,
partially
if
like
Shovel Knight was a Persona, that would be great.
That sounds like the most dope ass shit ever.
That would be so cool.
Shovel Knight as a Persona.
Yeah, it's like what? And like the person's like has like a bucket on their head and they take it off and then it's Shovel Knight.
Oh my God.
Or something. Like that's how, you know, because they normally rip off their masks. Well, depending what Persona game, they do other stuff too.
That would be the most sick like voiceover too. Like in with the, like a Japanese voiceover actor doing the voice of Shovel Knight.
Oh man.
I am here for that.
Oh man.
I would love that so much, but that's in my dreams. And I also recently replayed Persona 5. I did a 100% Social Link run. That was a schlep. It took hundreds of hours. But yeah. Anyways.
You are, I think, easily my top five favorite people. Because that's commitment. And that game is amazing. And to see all that, it's I know what it takes to
Thank
get
you.
Through that. And I did it twice for both 5 and for Royal because I was like, yeah, I'll do it again. Just to see what this is like. And, you know, I have so much time on my hands.
All right.
Your question.
Shovel Knight is in Mortal Kombat. It's happened. You're in the Mortal Kombat universe. Shovel Knight is a character. The team is trying to brainstorm. They can't figure it out. They need one more fatality. They come to you. Celia, give us a fatality. We need one. What is Shovel Knight doing to kill dudes?
Oh, man. Like, it kind of wouldn't make sense because this is more of a King Knight thing. But
yeah,
whistling and calling propeller rats. And they just come in.
That is, you know, that came really fast. And
you've been thinking about this.
The most perfect thing.
Thank you.
Because it kind of, you know, he remains wholesome, Shovel Knight.
Yeah, all the other ones do the bidding for him.
He just called some rat friends over. Which,
got it.
Yeah. And they're really hungry and he didn't have any snacks.
So right.
Not his fault.
He ate all the cheese.
See, I was thinking like he jumps up, he does like a couple of spins and he hits the shovel right on top of their head. Their head, it does the x-ray vision. The head goes through their body, out their butt. And then he goes behind them as this is all happening, digging a hole. And then they fall into the hole and then he buries it and then puts a little rose on top or like something.
Oh, well, if we're going gory.
I mean, it's
okay. Then the finishing move is Shovel Knight. You know, the scene where they're like, catch her. And he's like reaching for Shield Knight.
Right, yes. Right.
They're falling. And then he just doesn't catch them. Anyways, I don't know. He's like,
whoops. Fatality.
Yeah, that's like that's
apathy.
That's a good stage fatality. Like indifference.
The most hurtful kind of indifference.
Like the hand reaching out is like, nah, I'm good.
All right, Andy, take us home. Give us our last question of rapid fire.
Oh, okay. Is it last?
Oh, it's the last.
Then yeah, last,
no, the last.
Oh here no, we're having such a good time that this question always ruins everything because it makes life so very awkward. Celia, this is the last question. Mm-hmm. It is the most important question of not just podcast, but also your entire life. So dwell on it for as long as you need to, but not that long. Don't take 10 years, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, answer
this question. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It is a single choice question.
Yes.
We've accepted, cop-outs before, but I'll just lay it out for you. And whatever your heart tells you, however your essence best guides you to answer this question.
Very nice. Okay. Bring it back. It's nice.
Yes, yes, yes. Celia, the question is as follows. Andy or Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I have to pick between you?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, well, this is easy.
Okay, go ahead. Okay,
the reason for this, I'm going to give a little disclaimer.
I'm going to lose
it. I'm looking at you, Andy, right now.
I fucking knew it.
Steven doesn't have a camera. Like, you know, it's so much easier to say no to people when you don't see them.
Yeah, no, I get it. It hurts
less. That's my answer. Yeah, it hurts less. I can't see your sad, disappointed eyes.
I got it. I understand.
He's a good-looking dude. Too,
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna rectify the situation next time. Next guest. Okay. I'm getting my other.
This is the ego at play here.
This is like, I can't keep losing to you because of this technicality.
Exactly.
This is all bullshit. It's horse shit, and I've had just about enough of it. And don't worry, next show, folks. I actually, because this show, we're recording this way ahead of time, actually. Right. So
get a win.
I may have already rectified this situation, but mark my words, this shit ain't going down anymore. I'm not using this as an excuse.
When I'm not picked, I feel like, because I'm a garbage human. So,
it makes sense when you're not picked. Right. Doesn't make sense when I'm not picked.
Right. Exactly.
It just,
and when I'm picked, it's like, oh, hello, fellow garbage human.
I get it.
Come join the club.
Folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, on Twitter, we are at @duel_screens. On Instagram, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at @batchhall27. Andy's at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. If you want to join our Discord, it is exclusive to our Patreon supporters. So you can go to patreon.com/NDS Podcast and just $1 gets you into our super secret VIP Discord. If you want to follow us on Twitch, we're twitch.tv/duelscreensstreams. Celia, where could everybody find you? Everybody find just all of the projects, just the everything. Here's your chance. Tell everybody.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so you can follow Yacht Club Games on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, as well as Twitch at Yacht Club Games. You can also find out more updates on yachtclubgames.com. If you want more information about Cyber Shadow, you can go to that website or cybershadowgame.com. If you want to follow the creator, Arne, you can follow at Mecha School, it's Mecha with a K, on Twitter, as well as the composer, Enrique Martin, on Twitter, and he's at Pentadrangle. And I really hope everyone enjoys their ninja adventure when they play Cyber Shadow. You're going to die, but you're going to have fun. And yeah, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
This was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. We will be back at it again next week with another indie guest. Celia, thank you. Andy, thank you. Thank you again, folks. And as always, please be excellent to each other.